No Syntax is brought to you by Caffeine Driven Media, where we do podcasting with a kick. Hello, and welcome to No Syntax. I am Landon Isles, your host. Welcome to episode 8. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I finally got this one out the door. I know that last year I posted on Facebook that I was in Caffeine Driven Media Studios working on what would have been then today's show, tonight's show, or anyway, whatever, working on the show. And sincerely, I was. I sat there doing multiple edits, omissions, deletions, reinsertions, and then real life smacked me in the face and further reminded me that I had other priorities which required my attention. And of course, you all know what this was. This was my move, moving out of South Carolina to my new location here in the Virginia, D.C. area. So Caffeine Driven Media Studios is now in the Virginia, D.C. area. This may or may not be my permanent residence. I haven't quite decided yet. I have about 2 years to figure it all out and think about what I want to be when I grow up once it's done. Don't know if I'm going to stay here. I think it requires some really deep thought, depending on what jobs, if any, are offered here. It's all about location, location, timing, and what jobs are available and where. Location, timing, and jobs. Not necessarily in that order. But anyway, so it'll be a decision that I will make once I get to the bridge and I'm ready to cross it. So, yes, I am here in the Virginia, D.C. area. And I know I had posted also last year. Obviously, I'm in a new studio. I posted on Facebook a photo of a portion of the studio, which right now I can't even begin to explain the size of the studio. The picture does not do this room justice. It's actually a lot larger than what I anticipated. But it'll work. It'll work, especially since I've been used to working in smaller environments, which honestly, I don't care, but it's nice having the open space. It's nice having the room to move around without feeling like I'm tripping over cables and everything. So it's really, really great. So most of you have, also seen last year where I basically, and I really wasn't being sarcastic when I said that, house hunting sucks. And I know all of you agree with me. I would be different if I was looking for a home that I was going to buy versus a home that I am renting. But I myself, this is just me, I myself look at them as one and the same simply because, well, you know, I have standards and there's certain things that I look for. I mean, I have to live here regardless of whether I'm buying the home and it's mine, you know, I'm going to make it my own, or I'm renting, leasing, whatever vernacular you want to use. If I'm renting a home, I still have to live here. So if there are issues with the house, I have to see it. And sometimes, depending on what that issue is, it will drive me absolutely nuts. So I will tell you that, yes, house hunting sucks. It still sucks. Obviously, it's mission complete and I'm here. But the events during the time frame that I was looking for a house led me to believe that a majority of landlords or, quotations, former homeowners, some of them not all, but in this case, a majority of what I did see, they're freaking greedy bastards who are just basically on the cusp of becoming lipstick slumlords. Now, that's not my term. I don't think that's anybody's term. It was just something that I just kind of mishmashed together, but I think it fits, and I'll explain here in a second. But before I do, I would like to say that my realtor was absolutely phenomenal and went above and beyond. I don't believe I could have asked for anyone better. I mean, she was absolutely great. And to be fair, you know, and this also caught me a little off guard. She forewarned me by saying, what you see is what you get, and to not get my hopes up. Now, to be clear, what she had meant was that it was a bad time of the year for a house hunt. It just really was. You know, during the holiday season, there just wasn't a large market for rental homes. And in addition, if there were any, most of the nicer homes were pretty much gone, sight unseen, within minutes to a few hours. And that was the truth, because I saw it myself. The list that I had off the MLS website, I think I had 25 plus or minus homes that I was interested in, that I wanted to look at. I had them rated from the best to the mid to the worst. And yes, I was even looking at the worst, but the worst, in my opinion, of course, never go by MLS listings, because the pictures usually are old. They're never up to date. I had to heed her warning. What you see is what you get. But this was absolutely unreal. So it made me quite nervous overall, because one, I had a compressed time schedule. But again, long story short, mission accomplished. But I'll tell you what I went through. The sight unseen was really quick. There were houses that, hey, I was ready to go look at, and the next day they were leased out, contract, sight unseen. The other issue I had was pets, and some of these homeowners were just like, you know, right off the bat, there was no room for negotiation. As a matter of fact, there was no negotiation whatsoever. It was an adamant no that they didn't want any pets whatsoever. And I get it. I understand it. But that's a topic for another day. So, mission accomplished. I did multiple trips up here. I brought some things up myself that I didn't want the movers to take with, or pack, or even touch for that matter. Signed for my keys and done. But circling back to my lipstick slumlord comment, how do I even explain this? Well, first, coffee. Number one, never judge a book by its cover. I know that's cliche, but you know, I look at it this way, even though, and I don't know if any of you have ever watched Mythbusters or have watched every episode, every season, I try to make a habit of doing it. I like even going back and watching older episodes, earlier seasons. But Mythbusters did prove that you can polish a turd. So on the face of things, most of these homes were beautiful on the outside. They were sporting well-maintained lawns, manicured bushes, and you were in a neighborhood that gave you that hometown feel, you know. But walking through the front door was a complete different story. I'm talking water-stained ceilings, peeling paint, marred walls, and stained carpets. Things that when you initially look at, that it would just make your heart sink. Because you look at the outside of this house and you're like, wow, this is great. You look at the neighborhood, you're like, wow, this is great. And then you walk through the door and you're completely disappointed. Completely disappointed. And I just couldn't understand that, why. I really didn't get it. Why? And maybe you're saying that, you know, that's just the way some people live and you can't blame the landlords. Well, shit. Yes, I can. I can blame the landlords, but I get it. I guess I have to see it from both vantage points, because if I'm leasing out a property and I'm no longer living there, I'm less likely to spend a great deal of money on top-notch paint, on top-notch wood flooring, carpeting, whatever the case may be, or getting the house painted, because I'm not the one living there. I'm not the one enjoying it. And so why am I going to go above and beyond for somebody who's going to be there temporarily in my home? I get it. But at the same time, I gauge my living experience based off of what I initially see in a home. So basically, if no effort was made to repair, and truly what I see is what I get, then it's a deal breaker for me. It just is. And I could be nitpicky as fuck, excuse my language, but I look at it as I have to live there. I'm living there and I have expectations. You have expectations of me, so I'm going to have expectations of you. And fortunately, I'll be honest, fortunately, I've had really, really good luck with homeowners. I really have had really good luck with them. There've been a couple that were a little crappy. The homes weren't all that great. And that was just due to timing. So I had to take what I could get. And, you know, you're kind of, you know, you have to deal with the hand that you're dealt. But having been a tenant in a couple of homes that has suffered water damage, and just as an example, I'm very leery when I see early signs of said damage and nothing's been done about it. So, I mean, again, what do you want me to tell you? I have standards. I digress. You know, I can honestly say that I'm fortunate and thankful that I did find a place in such a short time. So there is that. Now, before I continue with today's show, more coffee, excuse me. The temperature outside last I checked was 20 degrees with a feel like of 7. I think it only got up to 25 today. Last night it got really, really cold. Today it didn't get any warmer, but I think it's supposed to warm up during the week. But anyway, before I continue with today's show, I just have a question, a general question. And I've probably been doing it on this show. Hopefully I'm catching myself more than I did on episode 7, but have any of you ever listened to yourself on a voicemail, recorded a voicemail and then played it back? Or you had some sort of audio app on your phone, or let's go old school, a tape recorder. And this doesn't necessarily have to be now. I mean, it could have been in the past or whatever, but have you ever recorded yourself, gone back and listened and thought, damn, I cussed too much or overused a word, beat it to death, anything of that nature? I did this in episode 7, and I did this last year, listening to episode 7, and this is where I noticed I said, I'll just spell it my way, U-M-M. I spelt it U-M-M. I said, you know, you think I had more than just coffee to drink tonight? My apologies. So I did this last year, listening to episode 7. And I did notice that I said one too many times during the course of the show. So much so that I basically became irritated with myself and lost count of how many times I said it and realized that, you know, I could potentially turn this into a drinking game. Now, I didn't get this. This idea spawned from a TV show that I watched some years ago. I can't remember what season it was, but I'm sure some of you have watched it. A show called How I Met Your Mother, and Robin, who is a TV anchor who plays a TV anchor on the show, was doing an interview on some late night interview on a program that she was the host of, and she overused the word the entire show. Come to find out, Ted and his students, a friend of hers on the show, were making a drinking game out of it because she said one too many times. So when she found out, she made sure that the next show was over inundated with basically getting back at Ted and his students, getting them insanely drunk and severely hungover the next day. You know, so karma's a bitch, right? Yeah, okay. I can't remember the last time I played a drinking game, and there's probably a good reason for that. However, now that I pointed out my deficiency to you all, feel free to make a drinking game out of it and email me on how you did. Challenge accepted? Let me know. I'm really interested. Speaking of challenges, or basically not challenges, but challenges. I'm contemplating doing video podcasts. Or video logs or vlogs with a V, V-L-O-G-S, either on YouTube or Twitch. I haven't decided for sure yet. And this is simply due to the fact that I have a difficult time publishing audio versions in a timely manner. No shit. So there goes the again. But hopefully this will change. Whenever I decide, I will let you know sometime here in the future. I'd really like to do, or I'd like to go full-time video, or maybe do video and audio. The other piece, I don't know if you've noticed, but there is music playing in the background during the recording of this podcast. I felt as though that if I have my moments where I'm constantly needing to drink coffee like I am tonight, that at least I could break up the dead silence with having something playing in the background. So let me know what you think. I kind of like this loop. It's really nice, really classy. And it's relaxing, and it's allowing me to catch my ums. Anyway, So before I get into the news, I have a public service announcement. I want to remind you that the makers of Charmin toilet paper are basically telling you that if you don't use their product, you will leave skid marks on your underwear. Point blank, cut and dry. I don't know if you've ever saw this, if you ever saw this commercial, but, I can't make this shit up. It's an oddity at best. But I really begin to question the thought process of the individuals who come up with this crap. Again, no pun. I'm sure you've seen it, but it's a Charmin commercial that starts off with Mama and Papa Bear in a bathroom, stumble across a pair of underwear, and they're going back and forth on who's going to pick it up. Baby Bear runs in and says, "I'll touch them. They're mine because they're clean. And I'm Charmin clean because I use Charmin toilet paper." He didn't necessarily say that, but you get the gist of the commercial, right? So I started to wonder if Baby Bear wears the same pair more than once because, well, they're clean. I mean, as long as you use Charmin toilet paper, you'll never have to wash your underwear again. Problem solved, right? Whatever. Let's read an email. Okay, so this email is an email that I'm reading late, and I apologize to Leslie. I meant to, if I had this show published last year, it would have been no big deal. So Leslie, I apologize. But again, she writes, "Say what you will about your dress uniform being uncomfortable, but consider this. You don't have to wear a bra with it. Seriously, I don't believe a bra exists that makes me look good and is actually comfortable. It comes off the moment I get home." Coffee. Leslie, you're absolutely right. I didn't think about the one factor I was missing, and I should have kept in mind that someone always has it worse than I do. So, Leslie, hooray for boobies and letting them out at the end of the day. And thank you for your email. Speaking of emails, if you would like to send any comments or questions, you can send your emails to nosyntaxpodcast, that's all one word, nosyntaxpodcast@gmail.com. Now, for the news and my skewed perspective. Well, let's talk a little bit. news. Not much is going on, at least not with me right now anyway, other than me sitting here and drinking coffee. Oh, yeah, let's just... Thank God this reminded me. So I also, when I was going back and telling you about that, I might be doing a video podcast. So you can see my ugly mug and make GIFs and or print out, screen captures and throw darts at my photo. Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. Caffeine driven media. You've heard me at the beginning prior to the show. You'll hear me talk about this show is brought to you by Caffeine Driven Media. Excuse me. I've got the burps all of a sudden. You'll hear me talk about, hey, this is Caffeine Driven Media and the show is brought blah, 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 blah. And you hear that. And at the end, I always talk about what coffee I'm drinking. So one thing that somebody brought up to me was this. How about you have a segment within your show that talks about the type of coffee that you drink? And tell us a little bit more about it. You know, and why it's good or why you like it. And yeah, great. I think that's one segment I'm going to do. So just throwing that out there. But anyway, there's some news here that is rather old and rather dated because I had this originally scheduled for last year. So I apologize in advance, but some of these things really kind of caught my eye. And, you know, as much as I bag on Facebook, as much as I might bag on some social media outlets, I will say that it's a necessary evil. I will say that it is a necessary evil. It's a way to communicate. And regardless of how much garbage gets posted up on a Facebook feed or now even on Instagram or shit, even on Twitter for that matter, it's something that's there. It's there that is something. It's a method by which we communicate, and it's there. It's important. It's right there in front of our face, and it's just something. Until something better comes along, it's there. It's ours. We own it, right? Not literally, but figuratively, we own it. But on MSN.com, Facebook reportedly considered charging for access to user data, basically your personal user data. And evidently, the Wall Street Journal cited internal Facebook emails in an unredacted court document on this. And this is where Facebook employees discussed encouraging advertisers to spend more money on the service in exchange for increased access to user information. This information was also cited in those emails. Now, remember, Zuckerberg tested before Congress earlier last year with the whole Cambridge Analytica scandal, stating that he couldn't be clearer on this topic in that they don't sell data because that's not how advertising works. Now, I'm not quoting, I'm not paraphrasing, I'm just throwing, that's basically the gist of the information that I recall in reading that news article. But I sit here and also think about how Zuckerberg basically wiped the floor with Congress's ass due to their lack of knowledge about anything social media related. I mean, that's the truth. They didn't know how social media works. I mean, who's to say that he wasn't continuing to blow smoke up their asses about how anything works behind the proverbial iron curtain of Facebook? I mean, the bottom line to me, this is just my opinion. And of course, I've seen the movie Social Network. So the bottom line is Facebook back then was cool, right? And that's what they talked about. That was the genesis of the movie, was Facebook is cool. It's cool. We don't need people advertising on it. It is what it is. We just want people to utilize it and communicate. We want friends to have discussions. We want to do this, but we don't want any annoying ads. We don't want to do anything sales wise. Facebook in its infancy was cool. And the bottom line now, Facebook is no longer cool. It's dated. It's overstated. And again, my main purpose now is just to keep tabs on friends and family, promote my podcast pages. I mean, other than that, for me, Facebook has lost its luster. It just really, really has. I mean, and the other piece is, why would we think it would get any better? I mean, honestly, why the fuck would we care? It's a means to an end. It only has one use, which now seems to be buried in a myriad of ads and suggested sites based on what you view on other forms of social media or what you purchase on the internet. I mean, I get it. You have to make your money somehow. You have to pay your employees. Hell, you have to pay yourself. But honestly, if we didn't see this coming, then we're no better than rats pushing a button for a food pellet. I mean, you know, overall, I'm longing for something new. I don't know about you all, but realistically, I'm longing for something new. Now, that story about Facebook coincides with another news article where the Google CEO, I'm not even going to pronounce his name. So the Google CEO, Sundar Pichai, P-I-C-H-A-I, I'm going to have to look that up. Anyway, he had to testify before Congress for their practices, stating that Google has been accused of skewing search results against conservative viewpoints. Now, can anyone tell me how this is any different than what the news media does? Okay, so he's having to go testify before Congress for their practices, stating that Google had been accused of skewing search results against conservative viewpoints. I would assume that this isn't any different than what the regular news media does on television. I would assume that this is the reason why CNN, Fox News, and other channels have never been asked to testify about what could be deemed the same type of manipulation. Why? Because the lines are pretty clear. I mean, it's known. So they don't have to testify. They're blatantly doing it. But because Google's doing it, oh my God, now I need you to testify before Congress. If it's the case that Google is promoting bias, maybe just, I don't know, somebody out there develop separate web browsers for the right, left, and anything in between. I mean, and we wouldn't have to waste taxpayer dollars on having people testify before Congress. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with expressing your views. That's what makes America great. But the moment that we interfere with a medium which should remain neutral in nature, it becomes un-American, in my opinion. The internet is meant to be a virtual world that connects the masses. Yes, there are areas by which it's compartmentalized with personal beliefs, but overall, that's the freaking beauty of it. You have a choice on which path you want to take. Unfortunately, there are those who have an agenda and utilize global connectivity to suppress, oppress, and manipulate. I mean, realistically, this was bound to happen. Those who promoted their agenda have evolved for the most part. There will never be anything pure because someone will always want to corrupt it. And naturally, there are those of us who don't buy into the bullshit. We have a pretty clear picture of the world in its current state, and it's pretty fucked up. Just saying. So I know this isn't regular, this isn't current news, but I felt as though that it still applies now, and I really wanted to get my skewed perspective, my opinion out there. Again, formulate your own opinion. Some people I know that I follow on both Instagram and Facebook, some people have completely dropped off of Facebook and gone to Instagram because they don't have to deal with all the crap that people are posting or perpetuating on Facebook. And I, you know, my hat's off to them. That's fine. I'm still on it. It doesn't bother. I'm not on it as much as I used to be. But I understand. I get it. So speaking of fucked up, I know I'm dropping a lot of F-bombs this evening. I apologize, but I want to expound upon I'm really having a hard time tonight. I want to expound upon a section of an online news site entitled Fact Check. Now, this was on, oh crap, I can't remember which news website it was on. It might have been MSN, CNN, Fox News, one of those affiliates online. To be clear, this was my first time coming across this. And to be honest, I just gleaned through the major news websites to get an idea of what's going on, what's being said, and how each of these affiliates are reporting the information. However, someone has spent an inordinate amount of time fact-checking President Trump on stories from all across the globe, the Associated Press, Washington Post, Business Insider, CNN, and surprise, factcheck.org. Okay. Now, I'm not sure what to make of this. I don't know how long this has been in existence, maybe from the time of his presidency forward. I don't know. But this segment, I'm just curious if it existed with each presidential administration. Or does really the news media have such a severe dislike for President Trump that much that they devoted their time perpetuating their blatant disgust for anything he says? I'm not quite sure what to make of it. Again, don't get me wrong. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. And it's clear that this news site has a very solid line drawn where they stand. I will say, however, after reading through some of these articles, it's clear our president is ill-informed on a number of subjects. And I blame his, on a number of subjects. I blame his staff for the most part. But it takes two to tango. So I could blame his staff. Yet at the same point, you know, you got to bring something to the table too. I mean, it is a reciprocal relationship. Excuse me a second. It is a reciprocal relationship. So unless, of course, President Trump isn't listening, then there's only so much they can do. I've always made it a point to surround myself with people smarter than me, because in my opinion, they're the people that make you successful. And with that, I think I'm going to go ahead and close the show here for this evening. I appreciate your patience. I appreciate your support. I appreciate the emails, Twitter comments. I appreciate the Facebook messages. You all are absolutely great. So that being said, No Syntax is brought to you by Caffeine Driven Media. Logo design is by Caffeine Driven Media Designs. Music is by Rim Sky Music and can be found at premiumbeat.com. That's www.premiumbeat.com. Sound editing is by Auphonic.com. That's www.auphonic.com. You can follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/NoSyntax. On Twitter, you can follow me at No Syntax Podcast, or you can email me with comments and questions or questions at No Syntax Podcast. One word, No Syntax Podcast at gmail.com. And today's show was fueled by Iron Bean Coffee. That's Iron Bean Coffee, www.ironbeancoffeecompany.com. You could find their coffee and other swag at their website, www.ironbeancoffee.com. I don't have the website, but the music that you're hearing in the background, and this is just an ad lib, the music that you're hearing in the background is from Melody Loops, and I will have their information on the next show. With that, I will see you all next time. Have a good night. Have a good work week. Have a good day. And oh, by the way, Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everybody. And I will talk to you later. Take care. Bop, 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 bop